You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Want to earn extra cash for the holidays? Amazon Flex is expanding in the San Francisco Bay Area. Opportunities in Richmond, Oakland, and Daly City. Earn around $20 to $27 an hour delivering packages with Amazon. All you need is a car, a smartphone, and some free time. This is a great opportunity to be your own boss, deliver when you want, and make extra money. With Amazon Flex, you'll have flexible hours and great earnings. To get started, download the app at flex.amazon.com. That's flex.amazon.com. You must be at least 21 years old. Limited opportunities available. Get started at flex.amazon.com.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast with myself, Robbie Musto, here with my partner in crime, Robbie Earle. We're going to react to a Super Sunday that involved the big clubs in the northwest of England. And the first of which, Rob, we're going to talk about is the massive game, the biggest rivalry in English football. Manchester United 1, Liverpool 1. Did this match live up to the expectations for you? Was it much better than the first meeting this season that ended 0-0?
It didn't live up to quite the expectations, Rob, because I thought it was a Manchester United who've been in really good form, 15 games unbeaten, all competitions, all that before a ball was kicked. A Liverpool team that I knew would be well prepared, that would be well organised, despite some missing some of their star names, despite one or two players not being available for suspensions or the international clearance. But I'd have to say, Rob, that overall, the quality wasn't quite what I thought.
But why not? Why not in the game?
Why not? Because I thought for a spell in the game, the first 20, 25 minutes, I thought people cancelled themselves out. Mm. There was an interesting kind of battle, certainly in midfield. There was Pogba versus Chan down in one area of the pitch. There was Herrera versus Wijnaldum in another area of the pitch. There was Michael Carrick sitting in front of his back four. There was Henderson sitting in front. I thought they kind of cancelled each other out. Nobody wanted to give too much away in that area. So it stifled the game a little bit. And then Liverpool got the break through the penalty kick from Pogba. And then we started to see a little bit more of Liverpool without them ever being in total control, where I thought, OK, they're going to go on and get the second.
It was a game that I thought going into this match that Manchester United, when we looked at the team sheet, I think we agreed that with Martial, Ibrahimovic and Mkhitaryan, and with Pogba and Herrera and Carrick, that this is pretty much the best team
11.
For
maybe
them.
Eric Bailly comes in, maybe.
Yes, I think he does come in. But Liverpool's point of view, I think individually, I don't think they're as good if you put them side by side.
United players today.
But they're a good team.
Yeah,
they've been working with Klopp for a while now.
Yeah.
They work hard together. Mm. They played a little bit of a different system. It kind of fell into a diamond at some moments in the game. But it was kind of scrappy. It was fast. It was high energy. And I thought that the players of Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Henrik Mkhitaryan, Anthony Martial, because of the energy, Rob, because of the Liverpool pressure and the way that they work hard, they couldn't really affect the game that we've seen before. And that's what you got excited about with this Manchester United team. And me, to be fair, the way that they've been playing, they weren't allowed to do it.
Yeah, and I looked at that midfield four underneath Zlatan and thought, you know what, this is the best four we can go for. This is an attacking four. But they never really got to grips with it. And I'm going to chuck Paul Pogba in there as well, Rob, because I expect more from him in these big games. It didn't happen for those kind of players in the areas of the pitch where Manchester United needed to if they were going to win the game. I mean, it was interesting. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who scored the equalising goal, had 25 touches of the ball, the least of any starting player. Mm. Wayne Rooney had 35 touches and came on as a second-half substitute. So it tells you that they weren't getting balls in. They weren't controlling any areas of the pitch where they could get the big man and be a real threat.
I agree with that. And I think my overriding thought of the first half was Liverpool good.
Mm.
I mean, they got the goal, defended well. But let's not forget, Simon Mignolet was made man of the match
saves
at the end of it. So it wasn't though that United didn't find a way through. They did get behind, and one of those did involve Paul Pogba. And that was the start of a disappointing day for him. Now, we've had this conversation before about this guy, the most expensive player in the world, and he's got this huge personality and a social media presence, etc., etc. Are we expecting too much for him? Is he disappointing? Should he be better at this age? At that fee, and everyone's going to throw at him. Is he playing as well as he should be? He's got a little bit of time now to settle into the football club. He knows the club he was there before as a younger player. Mm. Has he been disappointed for you?
I don't think we're expecting too much, Rob. I think when you play that money, when you've got that reputation, when all the world's biggest clubs were trying to sign him, you expect a certain level. And listen, I don't want to be too harsh on the boy. He's 23 years of age. He's still developing, still learning the game. He's still maturing. There's two or three more years of growth. But let me tell you what I'm a little bit fearful about, Rob. And I don't say this in a flippant way. Did he lose his little focus of what's the most important thing for him? Paul Pogba should want to be the best footballer he can. He should want to be...
What does that look like?
He's
not a goal scorer like Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo.
No, he's not.
He can be a
powerful, modern, box-to-box midfield player who can drive through and create from midfield. He can assist with power.
How many goals do you want?
I want double-figure
goals.
There's
plenty of box-to-box guys. He's got to score a lot of goals.
I want double-figure goals.
I want six
or seven assists. I want more influence on games like today. Now, this is my point, Robin, and I don't want to take it too far because this is maybe for another podcast and another day. But we've talked a lot about players and Payet at one club and Costa going to China. And I'm talking about a young footballer here who's at a great football club. Everything's set up for him. Yet I sometimes wonder whether some of the social media, some of the videos, some of the things he wants to do in the fashion are becoming more important than the football. I want this guy to concentrate now for the next two or three years and get to a level, Rob, where what we're talking about, every time you talk about Manchester United, you think of Paul Pogba. Look at Cristiano Ronaldo when he went to Manchester United. Good player, do too many tricks and had to learn the game,
needed to shine.
Wow, what a player he ended up leaving, and look at the player he's turned into. Paul Pogba has the same opportunity, but football has got to be his number one thing in his life.
Jose Mourinho just said a few days ago that he thinks that Paul Pogba can be Frank Lampard. Now, Frank Lampard, that's goals.
Yeah.
That's goals.
He'll never get the goals Frank gets. He hasn't got the same natural instinct.
If he isn't going to get you those goals,
he'll get goals.
He's not a playmaking footballer that could, like a Xavi Hernandez or an Iniesta.
He's a Yaya Touré at his best. Is that right? That power...
Well, that was 20 goals.
It was 20 goals from midfield underneath as Zlatan, where he keeps coming and drives on and runs a game.
He's got to be getting big numbers of assists and goals because
Correct.
There's plenty of big midfield players around Europe and in the Premier League that can do the box-to-box, the aggressive, the winning, the headers. He's got to bring in that side of it. And you're right, his first season as this high-profile player. I'll tell you, just in terms of individuals, and we've been negative there a little bit, Trent Alexander-Arnold, his first ever Premier League start for Liverpool. He's been there forever, through the academy, etc., in this game. Now, just quickly, I remember I made my debut at 18 years of age, and the whole day, I played Liverpool in a big game for Oxford United. It was a blur.
Yeah.
I remember, Rob, I was on the ball, passing. I didn't even know where the ball was going.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even know who was there.
Sweating
it was that much of a blur in that day. Mm. My goodness, there was no blur from him. Anthony Martial, in terms of a...
Because you thought that matchup, didn't you?
Absolutely.
You talked about that matchup early and went, I can see Manchester United getting some joy down there. Martial goes off the pitch. He does that well, the kid. And it wasn't just his tactical play or his touch on the ball. It was his composure, Rob. It was his understanding of what to do. And in a high-profile game where he was pressing, he's playing at right back, a very important position on the pitch. So, yeah, huge credit. Let's talk about some of the positives in the game. And he certainly was one of them. Young kid with a bright future. And that's what you want from Jurgen Klopp. I mean... People are saying with Liverpool, do you think Jurgen Klopp might have changed it a little bit? Because there was a bit of a feeling towards the end of the game, and Jurgen Klopp came out onto the side of the pitch.
He knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, they went long.
Yeah.
He said they started to play another sport. He doesn't like playing that way. He doesn't like, it seems, teams who want to do that.
And he talks about it a lot, by the way. That's not the first time he said that.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Is that... I mean, it smacks of me, though. So what? So what? This is what some teams do.
You've got to deal with that.
Yeah, and Jose Mourinho has won enough trophies. Big Zlatan Ibrahimovic, we're lucky enough to get him on our pitch side set. Talked about it. He said, I don't mind the game getting a bit dirty, a bit physical, because that's what sometimes it takes to get the results and get the goal. So I thought that was a little bit weird. You know, just in trying to summarise it a little bit, afterwards I thought, Actually, both teams, there are still a lot of positives that both teams can take out of this performance.
Yeah.
Liverpool can, Rob, can't they?
For sure.
A lot of players missing.
Yeah.
They had a little funny system that did give some problems. They created some opportunities. The goalkeeper was good. The right fullback we've talked about, the youngster.
They're away from home against a team in good form. They'll
go back on their bus.
Yeah.
Not a long drive and say, you know what? Yeah.
Content.
We're on track.
Yeah, content.
United probably can as well, do you think?
Yeah, in a certain way, but I think there'll be more disappointment for Manchester United than will for Liverpool because they didn't really play. The players we talked about, the Mkhitaryans, the Pogbas, the Martials, Zlatan really didn't play at the kind of level or got in the areas that we expected them to. They got a draw, and that shows that this is an improving team, can win when they don't particularly play that or not get beat when they particularly play that well. But, yeah, I just think they'll be slightly more disappointed. They didn't really have a go.
Big Zlatan afterwards also said, Rob, that he thought, I mean, I guess he's going to say it, but we can talk about it. He thought that Manchester United are still in the title race.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I think it's a 12-point gap right now. Mm. I said before our broadcast today that I'm still not convinced that Manchester United is the real deal. I understand the run that they're on.
Yeah.
I understand the football's been really good. I understand the star players they've got. I'm still not... I mean... And Anthony Martial's a good example.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mkhitaryan a little bit today.
Yeah.
I still don't know
sure what
I'm going to get.
Yeah,
I know
yeah.
I'm going to get from Alexis. I know I'm going to get from Nazard for the most part. You know, some star players you know are going to give you something. It could be a game of four or five games that Mkhitaryan or Rashford or Martial don't do much.
Yeah.
And if you're going to try and challenge for the title, you can't have that many.
Wayne Rooney you might put into that category as well,
yeah.
but... I agreed with you. You know, Zlatan said that they'd be first. If I was standing next to him on the pitch side, I'd probably said no because he looks about 7 foot tall. He looks about 7 foot wide, and I'm going to agree with everything he says. I think from the distance of a few thousand miles away, I'd say no. They're not going to catch for the first place. They're battling for second, third, and fourth, Rob. And if they can keep a good run going, maybe nick second or third. But really, just to finish in the Champions League spot, I think would be a good start for Jose Mourinho.
And just to finish up this game on the bigger picture and the conversation with Liverpool, title challenges, top four should be
title
their target.
Title challenges, no. No, too early. I've
but
said
they're
that
right
from
there,
the start.
Though, aren't they?
They're 7 points behind. No, Rob, I don't...
Why can't they win the title?
For some of the reasons that you say with the Manchester United players, we've talked about Liverpool have to have their big players
on it
every week to score. And I don't think physically you can do it with the amount of games they've got and the cup that they'll be in. I just think it'll be too much for them, Rob. I think they're looking at second, third... fourth, obviously, if they have to make sure they get Champions League football.
Yeah, and that's
progression. That's okay.
That's progression from last
season.
That's
okay. I'm comfortable with that, and then I can expect him to go into the market again, get another couple of upgrades. I think we're 18, another season away from Jurgen Klopp saying, right, we're ready for going for a title.
Okay, to the other team in Manchester. My goodness, a different result, a different interview, a different set of body language come out of this game. Everton 4, yeah. Manchester City 0.
Let's talk Everton.
Let's
talk Everton. Right, I'm just looking at this result, Rob, and I was looking at it, I'm thinking, okay, if I hadn't seen the game today, and I said to him, oh, Everton played Manchester United, how did the game go? And somebody went, 4-0. I go, oh, City beat Everton 4-0 then. That would be my first thought. It was another good day for City, and Everton weren't quite at it. For Everton Football Club, just gone out the FA Cup now at third round stage, went out of the League Cup at third round stage, kind of season over, start of a rebuild, I think, under Ronald Koeman.
Let me stop you. Rebuild.
Yeah.
We had an argument about 3 weeks ago, and we argued...
I would never argue with you, mate.
No, we were arguing, I was saying, you know what, this Everton squad's not all that. There's been players that have been there for a long time.
I said, you're seeing them on bad days.
They need some surgery.
You're seeing them on bad
days. And you're like... No, this squad's still a good squad. It can do things.
Yeah.
We're seeing transition, mate.
We're seeing some transition, but some
young
of the
players,
some of the players you talked about. Kevin Morales was excellent today.
Yeah.
Kevin Morales, you were having him out
Tom
the
Cleverley's
team.
Out.
Gareth Barry did a good job today in a 4-0 win. You weren't having him. Listen, I'm not saying
Morgan
that they don't...
Morgan Schneiderlin's a new signing.
Yeah, of course.
Luckman comes on and scores.
Listen, I'm with
Tom
you.
Tom Davis. There's a transition going
I'm
on right
devil's
now.
I'm playing devil's advocate that you do need some young players and you need some transition, but you also need some steady, solid pros who are going to be in there. And he's got them as well. And the mix was right today. And the kids freshened it up. And Schneiderlin will be a good addition for him. He knows him from Southampton. But more than anything, Rob, this team have got to start to look forward. This team have got to start positive. Let Everton will probably finish seventh because they're nowhere good enough to get in the top six and they'll be better than everybody else. But how do they get into the top six? They've got to start to think and look about what's the next stage. How do they do it? How do they become Tottenham?
This is a whole new conversation for a different podcast of how you break that top six. Because if you look at those top six clubs, I mean, who's going to drop out of that? I mean,
this is really difficult. Spurs haven't spent massive money, have they?
But they've been developing over, what, 3 years to get to this point?
Everton developed. They've got a kid Galloway out on loan. They've got one or two kids coming through that academy with what they buy, clever buys, Idrissa Garner.
Yeah, but Ronald Koeman's first season.
Yeah, I hear his
squad isn't as good as we thought.
What I'm saying is, in 2 or 3 years, could they start to emulate what the Spurs are doing? How you break into the top six.
They can. There was a little bit of feeling over the last week or so, Rob. I think we both read articles that Ronald Koeman's starting to get a little bit of criticism, a little bit of the fans. I think you said to me that you know some of the Everton
fans
are
not sure about this guy. Yeah, yeah.
I think he's legit. Mm. I think he's a really, really good coach. I think the job is bigger than he expected. But it's just, I love seeing young players coming through. Yeah. Tom Davis, by the way.
Wow, geez.
I mean, how about his goal? How about his tackle?
Run all over Yaya, fell on the floor, got up, clips it over the goalkeeper. Lukaku tries to nick it, but he still gets the goal. 18 years of age. He hasn't even played 10 games yet in the Premier League. It was his ninth Premier League game. That's what fans will stay with, Rob. That's what fans will say. You know what? I'll have a little bit of inconsistency to get these kids in and get them the experience. And I think Koeman's just started to recognise with this Everton group that might be the way forward.
That's enough positivity.
Okay.
Manchester City, Pep Guardiola.
Hold on. Let me hold on here.
You're going to attack me?
No, but I'm going to present a set of facts that you said Pep will come in here, do it his way. He's a clever manager. I've got lots of faith in him.
Yeah, you're going to attack me.
Lots of faith in him.
Yeah, I've got lots of faith in him.
And I picked them to win the title based on your assumption of Pep Guardiola.
But I didn't. I said that I thought the adjustment of the Premier League was going to be enough of a problem to finish
them second.
To get them second. I'm shocked.
Tell me about Pep and what's happening at Manchester City. And it's early days, Rob. We're talking about months in a football club, not years. But what you're seeing with your eyes, what you're seeing with body language, what he's saying in press conferences.
I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
We need to create more chances. You've lost 4-0.
Yeah, that's where I'm worried. And I think Man City fans and anybody associated with the football club should be worried because we're seeing the same mistakes every single time. All it is, Rob, is one loose ball, one failed to control Yaya on the midfield. Yeah. Any transition and the defenders are not ready to defend. John Stones, again, makes a bad decision. Now, is that... He's either going to have to change those decisions or be a little bit more safe in the football, or he's got to buy a whole new back four of players that don't give it away. The league is the differentiator here, Rob, because the control that he sees in different countries, possession, that he gives up defensive insurance to possess, because that's his way of defending. He can't control the possession here.
But he can't control the possession.
For long enough.
Somebody once said to me, and made a great phrase, he said, the thing with the Premier League is it's past the parcel football. You have it a bit. They have it a bit. You have it a bit. It's those transitions.
Now, he hates that.
Yeah, and if you're not set up for those transitions, Rob, you've got a problem. You know, his defeat today, the 4-0 defeat, was the worst league defeat of his career. So he's been in Spain a very long time. He's been in Germany a shortish time, but one. He's never had teams or opposition who will play like they are playing in England. Now, the question is, Rob, at what point does he change or does he not change and does he not be successful? Because this club and this set of owners and the money that's been pumped in is not going to accept Pep sitting, slumping on his seat at 2-0 going, well, it's not right. Because you know what? In my head, I had a feeling like he's looking at this league and going, it's not neat and tidy, this league. It's not how I like the league. I don't feel good. Yeah,
he said, I have a right to feel good in our interview that we had, our download show. And I think that's the key to it. I've followed this guy a long time in his coaching career. I've never seen him look down into space like we showed him today on our broadcast.
That looked like I didn't really know what's going on.
I don't know what to do about this. And I think that's the fascinating part. The worry as well is that if he's saying things in press conferences like, I'm so happy. We controlled. We paced four times together. We played at Palace.
He's trying to be clever.
But the players will listen to it, Rob, and they'll say, okay. So this is okay then. So this is okay. So let's keep trying to play out. John Stones, keep trying to keep the ball in when you could knock it out. Gael Clichy, keep trying to play those balls in there. They're not going to change, Rob, because the manager's not. There's no sense of, I often say, a sense of desperation in their play or the manager.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we've got to do so. There's no desperation in him. He thinks this is okay somehow.
So where do you see the problem line with the management, the coaching staff, or the players? Who has the biggest problem? Who has more to deal with?
I think the coach. Right now it's the coach. Right now it's the coach. They're a very good squad of players. They spent a lot of money, Rob.
So with a different group of players, with a Mourinho pragmatic way of doing, this group of players do better.
I think they're doing better. Now, that's what's going to be fascinating about this experiment of Pep in the Premier League is he going to adapt to do more with less possession, or is he going to try and improve the way that they keep the ball, which is going to mean different players at the back because they're making too many mistakes every week, which is leading to goals.
One more question on the Man City thing. That was sort of my last one. Okay, let's Joe Hart go. About Claudio Bravo. Is he okay? Or is he any kind of problem? Starting off with the goalkeeper, we look at Lloris, we look at De Gea, you look at Cech, you look at that quality of goalkeeper. Is Claudio Bravo at that level to win your title, to not make mistakes?
I've said this before, and maybe I'm the only one who thinks this. I think he's a good goalkeeper. I don't think he was at blame today. Yes, some of these shots that go by him, the Morales goal today, you kind of sometimes expect your goalkeeper to make a save. I think he's a good goalkeeper. He's won a lot of titles, et cetera, national team player, legend for Chile. I think he's a good goalkeeper. But there's an argument about that.
Let me throw one at you then, just on that. And goalkeeping isn't just about making saves or making mistakes. Could he be shouting to John Stones, kick it out? Sometimes he comes showing for things and almost makes his defenders play back to him. And maybe that is the map the manager wants. But sometimes, just stay in goal and time to put it in the rose head. Don't show. Don't give them opportunities. It
goes back to what I said about Pep Guardiola.
Mm.
I'm so happy. So if he's happy that the goalkeeper's rolling out of John Stones and he's trying to play difficult passes that's being more of a problem than a gain at the moment, that's not really his fault. But it's a good point because an independent goalkeeper might say, you know what? I don't care what the manager says.
Yeah.
We're getting in trouble.
Yeah.
This is Goodison Park. We've both played there many times. Mm. It's a very good atmosphere.
Yeah,
it's a very good little stadium. They're very close to you. And they get the players revved up. That's what Everton are about. Hard work, determination. It's hard to play through that.
If he says he was happy today after losing 4-0 away at Everton, what's he going to be saying after the weekend's game? 12 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff Saturday on NBC. When his team are at home to Spurs, what's he going to be saying after that 90 minutes? Is he going to be happy then with a 3 or 4-0 defeat?
Well, we'll see. Maybe he is, because I think this is a good matchup for Spurs. I really do. Spurs, the best defensive team in the league.
Mm.
They can soak up, I think, most of what Manchester City can apply going forward. And what are Spurs good at then? Have they got physicality?
Yes. Energy.
Have they got pace? Yes. Have they got creativity? Yes. Have they got goals from midfield, late runs, getting in between defending players at Man City?
Could he go back three? Could he go back three to deal with Dele and Eriksen deep and Kane up front? Because I'm telling you what, if it's two, Rob, and those fullbacks aren't, they will get run ragged by a Spurs team who know the system and have got things nailed down.
I think he'll stick with the back four. I think he's...
Otamendi and Stones.
Well, I mean
there's been talk. Company's been apparently back in training.
He's not ready. I mean, Alex Kolarov isn't the answer.
I mean, it's interesting. There's no Fernandinho. There's no Gundogan.
Right.
Which is a loss.
Which throws Sabaleta in midfield.
Yeah.
So the control isn't going to be good with him in the midfield.
I think the problem you have with your Manchester City is if that's Burnley or Hull or something, say, they're missing some players. I think we kind of think, Manchester City got so many players, surely. Now, they haven't actually got that many replacements in that holding role. I mean, Yo-Yo too, I don't think, is that well suited to it now when the game's quick.
Yeah.
Zabaleta, certainly not.
Fernandinho's in front of them.
Correct. And those silly red cards that have got him suspended are kind of hurting his club a little bit now.
And back on Spurs, I mean, we talked about it on the Two Roads Football Show on NBC Sports Radio yesterday. They were so good and loving what they're doing right now. And in terms of two teams with the mentality of the manager and used to the Premier League and a durable, I think it's going to be a fantastic matchup. I can't wait for it. At the Etihad Stadium, it's going to be
One downside for Spurs, it looks like Jan Vertonghen might have a bad injury. We talked about it briefly on the radio show last night. Do you just think he goes straight swap Wimmer in for Vertonghen, keep the shape and keep everything else the same? Or do you think he might revert to the back four with Dyer and Alderweireld, with Rose at left back and Walker at right back?
I think he'll stick with the same system. Mm. Kevin Wimmer will come in for Jan Vertonghen. And just quickly on the system, you know where I'm going with this. It's the Chelsea system again.
Yeah, it fits.
And there's at least three teams now that are regularly playing the same way as this. It's 3-4-3. For Spurs, it releases Dele Alli and Christian Eriksen to play and to create with Harry Kane up front, and the power they've got in midfield of Moussa Dembele and Victor Wanyama. So they've nicked the Antonio Conte way. I think they'll keep the same. To go back to your question, Kevin Wimmer will come in as a left-side central defender. And I think it's going to be a brilliant game at Manchester City.
It is going to be a brilliant game. It's going to be a great watch, and we'll be all over it, mate. And don't forget to download our radio show from last weekend, Saturday, on NBC Sports Radio, where we discussed all the weekend's games and try to give a bit of reasoning on why Dimitri Payet, Alexis Sanchez, Diego Costa are all unhappy at their clubs right now. And next week, we'll have another podcast that will include that big game. Spurs travel to Etihad in a huge match for Pep Guardiola and his Manchester City team. Remember to subscribe to iTunes to download the two of his podcasts. Make sure to rate and review the shows. It gets more fans involved. And as ever, you can listen to the Two Robbies Football Show each and every Premier League Saturday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on NBC Sports Radio. So for me, Robbie Earle, and him, Robbie Musto, thanks for listening, and bye for now.
Want to earn extra cash for the holidays? Amazon Flex is expanding in the San Francisco Bay Area. Opportunities in Richmond, Oakland, and Daly City. Earn around $20 to $27 an hour delivering packages with Amazon. All you need is a car, a smartphone, and some free time. This is a great opportunity to be your own boss, deliver when you want, and make extra money. With Amazon Flex, you'll have flexible hours and great earnings. To get started, download the app at flex.amazon.com. That's flex.amazon.com. You must be at least 21 years old. Limited opportunities available. Get started at flex.amazon.com.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.